ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
You know, when I was in nursing, I worked for nonprofit hospitals in Chicago and here in Wisconsin. And for whatever reason, they would have Christmas parties for their employees, which was really nice, but now the spouse of the employee. And these parties were, I mean, they were really very nice. Food, drinks, music, dancing, all kinds of stuff. And I would never go. And people would go, well, why aren't you going? These are great parties. I'm like, yeah, I understand. But I'm not going to a party without my wife. Why? Because the temptation, think about this. I work mostly with women. So who are the people that are going to be attending this Christmas party? A lot of women. There's drinking, there's dancing. That's trouble. Maybe I don't go there with that intention, but I'm setting myself up for it. Some people say, well, I would never do that. I can go to a party without my spouse, and it would not be a big deal. That's great, but if you're really honest with yourself, there have been many, many, many marriages that have been ruined because of that foolish thinking. We're all capable of doing things that we would never expect we could do. Don't put yourself in a situation like that. Be wise. I actually went to a Christmas party where my spouse was invited. And so Julie was with me. This is not what my boss intended. He had drinks, but people abused the amount of alcohol that was there. This one woman was plastered, and she was hanging all over me. I couldn't get away from her. Finally, they ended up kicking her out of the Christmas party. That's how bad it was. So we have to be wise. We're being tempted all the time, not by God, but by the devil. Remember what we read in James, James 1, verses 13 through 17. James wrote, "Let no one say when he is tempted, I'm tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning." Now, earlier on in James, it says that it almost seems like God does tempt us. Well, here's the thing. We see clearly he doesn't. What's going on here? Well, the word trials and temptations come from the same Greek word. God tests our faith, trials. Satan tempts us to sin. God wants us to grow. God wants us to mature. Those are the trials that come into our life, the testing of our faith. Satan comes along and tempts us to exploit the trial we're going through so we can sin. And he's really good at it. He gets us to do things that we would never imagine we could do. Oh, come on, it's just one drink. It's just one shot of drugs. It's just this. It's just that. It's just one look. It's just one this. And then we succumb to it. We are tempted and we go for it. Satan tempted us to sin, right? We bought into it. And you know what he does next? So you call yourself a Christian. Ha, look at you. Look at the way you're behaving. He's the one that tempted us, and then he condemns us. God never tempts us to sin. He tests our faith. There's a huge difference. Don't put yourself in situations where you are going to be tempted. I've told you this before. I never do counseling, marriage counseling or counseling with women, all by myself. I always bring my wife with me. And the reason I do is because it's just wise. Think about it. Okay, here's this woman. Husband doesn't want to come to the counseling session, so I'm there. And you know what? He's not listening to her. He's not paying attention to her. And here I am. I'm paying attention to her. that's a bad thing. Not that I'm paying attention to her, but it opens the door for trouble. So having my wife sit right there with me, she not only gives good counsel, but takes away any problems. That's just being wise. We need to be wise in the days we're living in. Spurgeon wrote, "Satan tempts, God tries. But the same trial may be both a temptation and a trial. And it may be a trial from God's side and a temptation from Satan's side. Just as Job suffered from Satan and it was a temptation, but he also suffered from God through Satan, and so it was a trial to him." We got to be wise, guys. Because in these days we're living in, the world needs hope. And we can point them to Jesus. And it's through our witness that people see something different in our lives. And the devil and the world can influence us, tempt us, but it's our flesh that's drawn down that path. In fact, when James says drawn away, it comes from a Greek word that's often used of a hunting term that spoke of a baited trap that was used as a lure to capture an unsuspecting animal. You know, you got the box and the little stick holding the box up, and you put some bait in there, and the little rabbit or squirrel or whatever goes in there, and then you pull the stick away and the box closes down on the creature. That's the idea. The word entice that James uses was used as a fishing term referring to bait a hook. Exactly. That's Satan's plan, to deceive us into thinking that sin is good and we take a bite. But as we surrender our lives to the Lord, as we seek Him, as we're going through this testing of our faith, God brings good out of it. Growth for us, spiritually speaking. Yes, the devil's tempting us to sin, but God's testing our faith to help us to grow. And I realize nobody likes going through difficult times, times of testing in regard to our faith. But make no mistake about it. Draw close to God, because Satan is right there to tempt you to sin. I'll give you a good example how important this testing is in our lives. There's a young boy, and he saw this butterfly struggling to emerge from its cocoon. And it was straining with all its might to get out of the opening, and it was too small. Just couldn't do it. So he tried to help the butterfly. He took his knife and slit the cocoon, and here comes this butterfly emerging out, but it had small and shriveled wings, and it wasn't able to fly. And within a short time, the butterfly died. And when the boy asked his father about it, his father explained that the butterfly needed the struggle to get out of the cocoon. Because that process of struggling to get out of that cocoon helped develop its wings and made them strong enough for flight. So in an attempt to try to help this butterfly from its painful struggle, he deprived it of that which was necessary for its development and life. And so the struggles, the trials we face serve for our development, not only in the physical realm, but also in the moral and spiritual. Think about it. Would you place yourself in the situations that you've been through in life if you had the choice of doing it? Absolutely not. I wouldn't. You'd be crazy. That makes no sense. Why would I put myself in a difficult situation? So God does it. To help us to grow, to mature, to trust in Him more and more. Yet for Samson, he placed himself in the temptation. And I don't think he was interested even in fighting against that temptation. And we need to be careful. The key to fight against temptation, and people may think, well, that's really simple. I'm a simple person. I don't want it to be complicated. If it's complicated, I'm going to struggle with it. God gives us, He knows our frame, that we're weak. So He tells us, okay, you want to fight against these temptations? Be in the Word of God. Let the Word of God saturate your life. And then obey the Word of God. It's not just knowing the Word of God. It's obeying what God's Word has to say. You have to allow the Holy Spirit to lead you in what to do and not quench the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. You know, I know this is going to sound really brilliant. Temptations are tempting. Well, yeah, of course they are. if they weren't tempting, wouldn't it be easy to fight against them? Of course it would, but they're not. Paul said, you know, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Well, why? Well, the flesh wars against the Spirit against the flesh. And they're contrary to one another. But if you don't want to do the things of the flesh, then you need to be led by the Spirit. The Word of God, guys, in the days we're living in, when the world tries to tell us what's right and wrong, is so important for us to know. David said in Psalm 119, verses 9 through 11, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. What he's saying, what the psalmist is saying, is you need to have a purity of life, and you can have it as you meditate upon God's word and live accordingly. See, saturate yourself with the Word of God. It'll show you what's right. It'll show you what's wrong. If you go down the wrong path, the Holy Spirit will convict you. And the best defense against sin is a good, strong offense, guys. One writer said, you know, this book will keep you from sin, the Bible, and sin will keep you from this book. And that is so true. When you're involved in sin, I guarantee you, you are not going to be in the Word of God. Because God is going to convict you. You're not going to be in fellowship with other believers because they're going to convict you. And you're not going to go to church because you don't want to be hear anything about God because you're happy where you're at. You got to let the Word of God keep you clean as you saturate yourself in God's Word and make it part of your life. Spurgeon put it like this. He said, young man, the Bible must be your chart, and you must exercise great watchfulness that your way may be according to its directions. You must take heed to your daily life as well as study your Bible. And you must study your Bible that you may take heed to your daily life. With the greatest care, a man will go astray if his map misleads him. But with the most accurate map, he will still lose his road if he does not take heed to it. Absolutely. Having a correct road map is essential. But then you have to follow it. You know, Joe Sams is totally aware of driving with me. He knows. I had GPS. We were going down to the men's retreat down in Williams Bay. And my GPS was telling me where to go. And I was telling it where to go. And it was not the same place. It was completely different. I'm like, it's telling me turn here. I'm like, no, it's not. We got to keep going. And it kept, you know, this is an older GPS system. This was several years ago. And it kept going. You know what it kept saying? Recalculating over and over. I wanted to rip that thing off my window. But I didn't because that would cost me money. So I turned it off. And then we were lost. And then I had to turn it back on because I not only needed to get the right directions, but then I needed to obey what they were telling me to do. And that's what God says. Okay, here's my roadmap. This is how you are to live. And then we go, well, I don't want that. We close our book. We close the Bible. And finally we go, oh, you know what? I'm so off course right now. We open it back up and God says, okay, this is what you need to do. And now you need to do it. Pretty simple. Pretty simple. When the Holy Spirit drove Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan for 40 days, how did Jesus defeat those temptations of Satan? Which were nothing more than the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. With three words. It is written. This is what God's word says. And I think that's a really good example for us to follow. The danger comes when we don't adhere to God's word and we go by our feelings. Or what this person said or what this book said. I really want to know what God has to say about things. Because if I don't follow God's word, if you don't, we're going to be in trouble. You know, and again, the key is don't put yourself in situations that are going to tempt you to sin. There will be many temptations out there, many tests that God's going to bring into your life. And Satan will try to tempt you during those. But don't put yourself in those situations. Warren Wiersbe wrote, "We can't help it when Satan and his demons tempt us. But when we tempt ourselves, we become our own enemy. God doesn't tempt us. When we pray, lead us not into temptation, we're asking that we are not to tempt ourselves or put ourselves into such a position that we tempt God. We tempt him either by forcing him to intervene and rescue us or by daring him to stop us. It's possible for people's character to deteriorate so much that they don't have to be tempted in order to sin. All they need is the opportunity to sin, and they tempt themselves. Illicit sexual experience may begin as sweet as honey, but ends up as bitter as wormwood. Samson the man had become Samson the animal, and the prostitute led him to the slaughter." Yeah, if you place yourself in situations that will tempt you, well, it brings us to the next point. The flesh leads to destruction. Look at verse 2 here in Judges chapter 16. "When the Gazites were told, 'Samson has come here,' they surrounded the place and lay in wait for him all night at the gate of the city. They were quiet all night, saying, 'In the morning, when it is daylight, we will kill him.'" So the Philistines didn't like Samson, obviously. Not only was he a Jew, but he caused them all kinds of trouble, and they wanted to do away with him. So when they find out that he's in Gaza, they're just laying in wait for him. The gates of the city are locked at night for protection for the city. In the morning, they would be opened up again. So at night, they're just waiting for morning when Samson's going to leave the city, and then they're going to kill him. Well, at this point, you know, Samson finished satisfying his flesh. It's getting late. He's ready to move on. And I think he's aware of what's going on, as we see, and when we finish up our study this morning, he's got a plan to get out of there. But what I want to focus on here is the flesh leads to destruction. And that's exactly what the Philistines wanted to do. They want to kill Samson. Let me share this poem with you. It's kind of powerful, and it speaks forth what we're talking about here, death and destruction that comes as we give in to temptation. It goes like this: "I destroy homes, tear families apart, take your children." And that's just the start. "I'm more costly than diamonds, more costly than gold. The sorrow I bring is a sight to behold. Just try me once and I might let you go, but try me twice and I'll own your soul. When I possess you, you'll steal and you'll lie. You do what you have to just to get high. You'll lie to your mother, you'll steal from your dad. When you see their tears, you should feel sad. But you'll forget your morals and how you were raised. I'll be your conscience, I'll teach you my ways. I take kids from parents and parents from kids. I turn people from God and separate from friends. I'll take everything from you, your looks and your pride. I'll be with you always, right by your side. I'll take and take until you have nothing more to give. When I'm finished with you, you'll be lucky to live. If you try me, be warned, this is no game. I've given the chance, I'll drive you insane. I'll ravish your body, I'll control your mind, I'll own you completely, your soul will be mine. The nightmares I'll give you while lying in bed, the voices you'll hear from inside your head, the sweats, the shakes, the visions you'll see, I want you to know these are all gifts from me. But then it's too late, and you'll know in your heart that you are mine, and we shall not part. You'll regret that you tried me, they always do, but you came to me, not I to you. You knew this would happen. Many times you were told, but you challenged my power and you chose to be bold. You could have said no and just walked away. If you could live that day over, now what would you say? I'll be your master. You'll be my slave. I'll even go with you when you go to your grave. Now that you have met me, what will you do? Will you try me or not? It's all up to you. I can bring you more misery than words can tell. Come take my hand, let me lead you to hell." That is a powerful statement, a powerful poem. Temptation leads us to all kinds of misery in our life. And yes, as Christians, we're saved by grace, but make no mistake about it. Like Samson, our life will become a mess if we play with sin, if we allow temptations to control our lives. I'll just give you a few scriptures to show you that death and destruction are part of giving in to temptation. 1 Timothy 6, verses 9 through 10, Paul wrote this: "But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Money itself is not good or evil, but the lust for it is evil. Why is that? Because it will do all kinds of things to obtain it. Isn't it interesting? You know, money is not evil at all, but it can become a snare or a trap to catch us, and then it's difficult to let go. You want just a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more. And you could do all kinds of evil, things you never could imagine, to obtain it. Don't fall prey to that kind of temptation. And that could go for anything, not just money, but anything that wants to take control of our lives, tempt us down the wrong path. Another one is Proverbs 14:12. There's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Isn't it amazing how we think we know better than God? I know that sounds kind of funny, but when we disobey God, we are actually saying, hey, God, I know better than you. We don't think of it that way. But God knows better than us. What do we say? Well, I know what the Bible says, but, you know, I can handle it. Really. If you could, if this was not a problem, if it wasn't going to hurt you, why in the world would God warn you not to go down that path? Interesting. He wouldn't, but it is dangerous, and he warns us. And for Samson, he thought he was doing fine, right? But in the end, death and destruction is going to come upon him. God knows what he's talking about. Paul said in Galatians 6, verses 7 and 8, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. When God says it, he means it. What you sow, you will reap. And if it's to the flesh, that's not going to be good. But if you sow to the Spirit, build up that inner man, then it's a blessing. And it's a choice on our part. We don't have to go down that path and succumb to those temptations. Paul said in Romans 13:14, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Isn't that interesting? In other words, don't put yourself in situations where your flesh is going to be tempted. Make no provision for the flesh. Well, what am I supposed to do? Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. When you get up in the morning and start your day, start it with Jesus. You don't want to give any provision for the flesh. You know, I always use the illustration of, you know, someone selling things door to door. Once you open the door, they get their foot in the door, right? And they're not going to take it out. Well, that's temptation. Once you open that door a little bit, look out, it's going to be hard to close that door. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Solomon wrote in Proverbs 4, verses 14 through 19, do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil, and avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on, for they do not sleep unless they have done evil, and their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence, but the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. Isn't that interesting? I mean, I don't know about you, but okay, I'm getting older. I get up at night to go to the bathroom. Should not have had that extra glass of water before bed. And we used to have a dog, Petra. And she would sleep really good. She wouldn't move. And she was red, okay? And with the carpet, she kind of blended into the carpet when it was dark. I mean, if she was a white dog, it'd probably stick out a little bit. And I'm telling you, I couldn't tell you how many times I tripped over her. Unbelievable, because I couldn't see because it was dark. We need to go down the path that's lit, the path that God has set for us. The wicked are doing things that are totally against God. They're walking in darkness. They're tripping all over the place. Well, we need to follow the ways of God. And the world looks at us and they shake their head because they see us so different. And sometimes it really irritates them. That's okay. You live for God. You honor Him. We're not perfect. We will never be perfect. I guess until we go to be with the Lord, then the work He started, He'll complete. But boy, we can shine forth the light of Christ in this dark world.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers. Breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.